Blog Talk Radio. Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We are so thankful to the Most High God for giving us another opportunity to come before His people. And we thank you, radio audience, for tuning in every Wednesday and Friday to be able to, at the hour power, to be able to hear the Word of God as it's being preached to you, His people. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We praise thy name. We give you all of the praise, all of the glory, and all of the honor. Lord, your word say, if I be lifted up. You said, God, that you will draw all men unto you. And Father, today, God, we come, Father God, before you, God, to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save many souls. So, God, we thank you, Lord God, for the souls that will be saved. We thank you, God, for the lives, God, that will be changed. We thank you for the bodies, Lord God, that will be healed. Father, we just give you praise right now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We're going to be coming from John, the 9th chapter today, that is in the New Testament, and we're going to talk about the miraculous and supernatural power of God. I want you to know today that we are living in those miraculous times. We are living in a time that God is still doing the supernatural. God still is working miracles. I don't know how the enemy is trying to lie to you and to make you think that miracles was a fool, that the supernatural does not exist. But I want you to know the day that we're living in, a day and a time that God is still doing great and mighty things. God is still causing the blind to see and the lame to walk. We're going to begin speaking today from that first verse of the 9th chapter of John. And it reads, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when we begin to look at the word of God, when we begin to look at the supernatural, when we begin to look at the miraculous, we see the word of God as God has passed by. When we see the word of God, that when Jesus Christ passed by, he seen a man that was blind from his birth. Do you know somebody that's blind? Do you know somebody that cannot see? Do you know that somebody that the doctor said that the sight is forever gone and that they will not see again? Now, this is the report of the doctor. But you know what? Today, I'm not asking you to believe what man says, but I am asking you to believe what the word of God says. For the word of God says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not one jot or tittle of this word will fail. So therefore, here we see that Jesus had passed by, and he saw a man that was born, that was blind from his birth. And otherwise, he was born blind. He didn't just become blind, but he had been blind from his birth. from the time that his mother birthed him, this man was blind and this man could not see. Yes, we talked about it one time, that he never could see and he never had the experience of seeing the sun, the moon, the sky. He never seen the things that are around about him. He had to feel and he had to try in order to make out what it was, to see what it was, to feel what it was. But he never had the pleasure like you and I are able to see and see things plainly. You know, that makes me think in my heart, you know, why is it that we are not so appreciative for the things that God has given us and for the things that God has done for us? You know, sometimes we think, take things for granted. I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't give God the praise and the glory for those things that he has done and what he has already given us. If you can see out of your eyes, and you can focus, and you can see the sun, and you can see the moon, and when you wake up, you can see that son or that daughter, or you can see those people in your house, or you can see look out the window and see the grass and see the trees around about you, and you can see everything that's on the outside, that's individual contact, you ought to be able to praise God. But here we see in this ninth chapter of John, this man was born blind from his mother's womb, from birth, never could see. And then his disciples was wondering, he asked Jesus, "Master, who did sin?" Because they thought, well, if a man blind, he must be a sinner. Who sinned that this man is blind? It's not always because somebody has sinned that they have a disease or they have an infirmity or they cannot see, or whatever happens. Jesus let them know that, no, if neither has this man sinned nor his parents, come on, but that the works of God should be made manifested in him. Here Jesus telling him, he say, I must work the works of him that sent me. Why is day? The night cometh when no man can work. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Do you not know that Jesus is the light of the world, and in him there is no darkness? When we can walk in the light, Jesus is that light. And then it tells us when he had thus spoken, so he didn't just see the man blind. He didn't just see him, because I believe that Jesus knows everything and he comprehends everything, and he knew the day that this man was born to his mother. No, I don't know what the mother's name was. I don't know what the father's name was. I don't know what it said on the birth certificate. I do not know, but I do know that Jesus knows everything. I'm talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I'm talking about the true and the living God. So no, I don't know that day or the hour or the month that this man was born, but I do know, as the word of God said, the man was born blind. So after Jesus talked to his disciples, let them know that no, the man did not sin, nor did his parents sin, but he let him know that the works of God should be made manifested in him. And then when we see in the word of God, it tells us in that sixth verse, and when he had thus spoken, look what he did, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of a blind man with the clay.
Now, he wasn't blind in one eye, but both of his eyes were blind. Sometimes you see people that they lost sight in one of their eyes. But no, this was not the case with this man. This man was blind in both eyes, and he could not see in either of those eyes. But Jesus, he didn't just come to look at the blind man or to talk about the blind man. You know how we do. We may see somebody blind or somebody crippled or somebody that paralyzed or somebody can't get off or somebody have infirmity in their body. They may be sick. They may say, I'm feeling sick. I don't know what to do. I'm hurting. And we listen to them sometimes. But we're talking about Jesus. He was prepared. So we got to be prepared. We got to put on the whole armor of God. We have to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to be shodden with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When we have to believe God's word, because here God was able and was ready to move in action. He didn't just see this blind man. He didn't mean for his disciples just to go and to see the infirmities and the blindness of this man, because now he was grown up. He was a baby no more, but he had grown to be a man. But now, even he was full age. But then we see that God began to move upon this man that was born blind. So here the word of God tells us in that sixth verse again, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of a spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. He took that man, he took the clay. And he tell us how what God did, the steps that he did, how he began to move for what he was about to do, the plan that he was about to present, the miracle that was about to be manifested. The word of God says he had spat on the ground, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Somebody say, don't spit on anything that you, and don't put it on me. If you want a miracle on your life, if you want God to move in your life, don't be so ready to turn your face and your eyes and your mind into things that God is trying to do in your life. So, therefore, I thank God because, you know, right now when I think about the blind man, you know, he couldn't see what Jesus was doing. Somebody that could have two eyes and God was getting ready to heal another part of their body, and they seen Jesus spit on the ground and spit on the splinter and spit on the clay. They say, stop it, don't put that germs on me. I don't want you to do that. That man couldn't even see. And Jesus was able to do what needed to be done that in his eyes. He was getting ready to work a miracle for this man. Do you need a miracle? Do you need God to move in your life? Is there a sickness in your body that you need God to move on your own, in you and for you? So here we see in that seventh verse, and it says unto him, go wash in the pool of the law. God telling him, God instructing him. See, sometimes when God speaks to us, we don't know how to move, and we don't move in faith. The Bible says, according to the word of God says, now the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it, but I believe it. I believe that man, that he was blind, but I know this man wanted to see. I know he was tired of being in darkness. I want you to know that they are you tired of being in darkness. Now, you may not be physically blind, but you may be spiritually blind. So, therefore, I'm saying to you today, are you tired of being in blindness? Jesus came to this man, told him to, after he had anointed his eyes, and after he spit upon the clay and anointed the man's eyes, and then he told him to go, and he told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation this. He went his way and washed and came sin. Look what the power of God. He obeyed God. He obeyed God. He allowed the Lord Jesus to put that spittle upon his eyes. And then he was obedient to God. Obedience is something that we need to learn how to do. Obedience is better than a sacrifice. Obedience is something we need to follow after and to do the will of the Father. The man, if he, no matter how much of clay was on his mouth when the Lord anointed him, he had to do something himself. He had to go, Jesus told him to go, and to wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he did, what happened was the man, he began to see. The man began to see. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was alive, and said, is not this he that sat and did? The neighbors knew there was a difference. The neighbors knew that this man, I knew when he was a little boy. I knew that when he was born, the day he was born, I see this man. He was walking probably with a stick. I know somebody had to lead and guide him. But hey, today this man can see. I know him. I've seen him. And they began to question because they knew what a miracle had happened. They see the move of God. And then we say within ourselves, when we look at blind, where you cannot see. This man could not see. He had light of sight, of the sense of sight. He was unable to see in the natural. He could not see. But here we see the power and the miraculous. And I say we're miraculous because without God, we can do nothing. Without God, we are nothing. But when we can stand on the word of God. See, Jesus was teaching his disciples because he was going to be with them for a short period of time. So he was showing them that, hey, you can do all things. The word of God says in Philippians that I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. So here we see that God was teaching his disciples that even as I do the miracles and I perform the supernatural, then you can perform what? The supernatural as well. So then he began the neighbors and those that was around about him and seeing the evidence of this man seeing. They were saying, and let's read in that ninth verse. Let's take it up to the eighth verse. And it says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Now look at here. This man, he was blind, so he didn't have really an occupation. He really couldn't work with any kind of machine, or he couldn't even probably defend anybody as a lawyer. He wasn't really probably a teacher neither, because he couldn't read. And so, therefore, I realized the day and time that God have used people, no matter they were blind, God used them to be great teachers and great professors and things like this. But I'm saying here in the Word of God, this man, he was not really working. So therefore, this man, he sat and he begged. Now, thank you, Jesus, that the supernatural was manifested upon him this day and this hour, that he became not the same man that sat by and begged. His begging days was over. Why? Because he could see. Because he had faith to believe God. He didn't have to beg anymore. He could be able living, but here we see in the Word of God, wherein the Word of God says, in that ninth verse, says, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him, but he said, I am he. Come on. Don't you just love that? And they were trying to wonder, is this this man that sat by and begged, this man that was blind from his mother's womb, and he was able to testify his own self. He said that, I am the, yes, I'm that blind man. I'm the man that was blind from my mother's womb. I'm the blind man that was used to be begging you for money, for coins, or whatever I could get in order to help myself. But here I am. Something miraculous, something supernatural happened in my life. And he said in that Pittsburgh, therefore said they unto him, how were thy eyes open? That's the big question. How was your eyes open? See, you know, God knows how to build a faith of men and women everywhere. Now, God never would open the eyes of this blind man, and yet the faith of those that are around about him, they became to be inquisitive because they want to know what happened. And see, when God began to work in you, when God began to do the supernatural in you, and when God allowed, and when you allow God to move in the innermost part of your soul and spirit, you allow God to heal your body, then you can go and tell somebody that I am he, I am she. I was the one that was sick. I'm the one that had infirmities in my body. I'm the one that the enemy was trying to blind. I'm the one that was blind from my mother's womb, or whatever the condition it was. I'm the one that was in the hospital for 5 months, and I'm the one that was in that coma, but hey, the Lord healed me supernatural, and now I can say that I am he, I am she that was healed by the power of God. So even as they was wondering, he let them know that, yes, I am he. And then they want to know how was thy eyes open. Here in that 11th verse it says, he answered and said, amen. He didn't really know who Jesus was, but he did know the miraculous, the supernatural that he did in his life. He said, a man that is called Jesus, a man, now come on now, that's the identification enough. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eye, not one eye, but both of my eyes, and said unto me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Isn't that a great testimony? I obeyed God. In other words, he anointed my eyes, and he told me to go and wash. And when he washed, he began to, he received his sight. What did God tell you to do that you haven't done? What is it, God, a miracle that God wants to perform in your life that you're afraid that somebody is going to look at you and laugh, or it's not going to come possible, it's not going to be done? When God does it, it is already done. Because when God do a thing, you can believe it, that it is God. He said in that 12th verse, then said they unto him, where is he? They want to know now, where is this man? Where is Susie? Where is Anthony? Where is Paul? Where is Peter? Where is Larry? Where is this person that are working these miracles? Where is Cynthia? Where is Patty? What are these people are working these miracles? I see what has been done, but But where is he? And they're not just looking for these individuals. They want to see the power of God that God has demonstrated through this individual. And through these individuals, the cause, the supernatural to be made manifested. When we talk about supernatural, we talk about miracles, we talk about things that have been a phenomenon. Oh, my goodness gracious. And supernatural power of God. Something that is what? Marvelous. It's like a divine invention. It's an extraordinary event which manifests divine intervention. It's nothing that we have done, nothing that the individual have done, but it's God Almighty. Have you just been lying in the bed and you may have aches in your back, in the pains in your back, infirmity in your abdominal area, and you said, and you put your hand upon it, and you spoke the word of faith, and God healed, and you know it was nobody but God. You know, it makes me think about one morning when I knew for about 3 days I was going through infirmity. The enemy had attacked my body, and I was having a problem of pain in my arm and pain down my, I believe, in my back and the lower part of my back and in my sphenoid area. And the enemy was trying to disarm me with infirmities and trying to bring infirmities upon my body. But I began to, the Lord had me to begin to pray. And I, in my prayer time, I was getting down to pray for others. But God had me that day to pray for myself. And I began to pray. And I began to intercede because the pain, I had to put pillows behind me in order to relieve the pain. But this particular morning, God had me begin to pray, and I began to call out those things that of the infirmities that was in my body, the things that the enemy was trying to do upon my body. I began to call them out before God, and I began to call those things. I it was my back or the female organs or whatever it was. I began to call those things out. My eyes, I began to call those things out before God. And as I was praying, the Lord began to speak back to me. And God, everything I called out to him, he said, heal. He said, it was healed. He called it back to me and said, it's healed. It's healed. It's healed. And then he told me to, after I got up, to go and tell others, tell somebody. Just like this man, he went and he had to tell. He went by, and they see a difference. They see that this man was not the same. That they see that he could, right now, he could see. He wasn't that blind man for all these many years. So I began to tell others what God had did and how God had healed. I began to, that same day, call someone on the phone and let them know that God healed me. I was obedient to God. And then I went to church, and I told the congregation what God did for me. Why? Because God told me to do it. God told that man to go to the pool of Siloam and told him to wash there. And he began to see. So here in the word of God, to let us know that obedience, again, is better than a sacrifice. Why should I sacrifice my healing? Why should I sacrifice my deliverance by not obeying God? God want to use his people to do the supernatural. God want to use his people to walk in miracles and signs and wonders. The God that we serve is a miraculous God. When we talk about miracles, yes, we're looking at the extreme, something that's outstanding or an unusual event. And certainly it was unusual to have seen a supernatural happening that had happened to this man that was blind, and now he was able to see. Word of God tells us. It said, where is he? He said, I know not. And they brought him to the Pharisees, him that for 4 times was blind. Well, they didn't really, they brought him, but he knew he could see. It's not that they had to leave him, but they decided they brought him to the Pharisees, him that aforetime was blind. And then the word of God tell us that it was the Sabbath day when Jesus had made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees asked him, now he that received, let's read that again. And then again, the Pharisee also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Now they had this discussion about this blind man. Everything else stopped, but they were having this discussion about this blind man, how he was healed. And then they were saying, like, they would accuse him because he had made this man to see on the Sabbath day. They didn't think he was of God. You know how people are, how they is. Because of the fight that you don't do it when they think it should be done. What difference does it make if it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday that this man was made to see? They should have been rejoicing. They should have been praising God for the miracle and for the supernatural that God had used this man as to build the faith of many, to cause him to be the topic of discussion, because God had made him to see. How many people in your neighborhood, how many people in your community that God have used you to be the point of discussion because of the miraculous that God has used you to move in his name in behalf of one that needs a miracle, that one that needs the supernatural to move into their life. How many? These people, they had this discussion because they did not want to believe that this man was of God, that Jesus of God, the one that had made this man to see, because he did it on the Sabbath day. How little, how small is their mind? To bring that up, but because of the fact they didn't know Jesus, when a many times people don't know Jesus, they're allowed to say anything. When they haven't had contact with Jesus, they'll say anything. When they haven't been in contact with the supernatural, they'll say anything. So, therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he has opened thy eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and receive his sight. I mean, they wasn't used to the supernatural. They did not believe what this blind man reports or what they were saying to him. There could have been people. You see people even now that have given testimony of their healing, how they may have been in the hospital for 5 months. They was in a coma, whether it may have been a year. But yet God miraculous when they woke them out of that coma. Or they were blind and they could not see like this man. Or they could not walk. The doctor said, you're paralyzed and you're not going to walk. You're never going to walk, which is very discouraging. But again, who report are you going to believe? But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. They called his parents. Let's get his parents in here. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doeth he now see? You say he was blind. The report is that he was blind, but we want to know, how is this man seeing? And his parents answered and said unto said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. We know this is our son. I don't know what the man's name was, but we know that that they called him. But they could confirm that this is, our son. And yet, he was born blind. But by what means he now see, we know it not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, and he shall speak for himself. These words affect his parents because they feared the Jews. But the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner, they try to call Jesus a sinner. We know he was a sinner. No, you didn't know that he was a sinner. Because if you knew, you didn't even know the man. Because if you knew him, you'll know that he is not a sinner. He said, and here in the word of God, it said, he ever said, whether he be a sinner or no, One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I don't care what you say. Come on. I don't care what you say, how you put it. I know that I have not been able to see since I'm a child. And I don't know whether it's a sinner or not, but I do know that I was blind, but now I see. I want you to know today that whatever you may be going through today, I want you to know that you got to believe God. God wants you to believe him. Believe that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask for things. It's time for us to go up higher. It's time for us to believe God. It's time for us to move beyond the natural into the supernatural. God want to do great and mighty things for his people. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the message today. Lord, we thank you, God, for giving us a word to your people. God, we thank you, Lord, God, for letting us, Lord, to build their faith so they know God. move in the supernatural. Lord, that they can know that they can do all things in Christ that strengthen them. I pray even now, God, that bodies was healed, God, during this message. I believe, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that even a crippled God could walk. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray even now, Lord God, that the blind could see. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that infirmities in their bodies, that they heal by the power of God. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, even now. And Lord, if there is, and I know, God, there's many that are out there that have not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, I pray even now, God, that you would cast their sin in the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. God, you say to be the best with our mouth, Lord Jesus. Believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead, that they can and they shall be saved. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done and what you're going to do. Thank you, Father, for the word of God, the anointing, and for your power and for your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. We would like to thank you once again for tuning in to the Hour of Power broadcast. I am your host and preacher of the hour, Dr. Mary McCoy. Please join us on this coming Friday at the same time as we experience the power of God's Word.